Did you know you could sponsor Nerd and Tie? That's right. For just $20, you could have sponsored this episode. Why didn't you? Your life is pain because I'm full of regret. It doesn't have to keep being full of regret because you have the choice to sponsor Nerd and Tie. All you have to do is go to nerdandtie.com and look on the right-hand side for the sponsorship information and click on the button. Send us $20. It'll be easy. Also, it's at the bottom of the page on the mobile version for those of you who, for some reason, read our site on your phones while you're listening to the show. I don't know who you are, but I assume you exist.
On this Fortnite's edition of Nerd and Tie, the Deadpool trailer has hit us hard. We won't be watching Spider-Man's uncle die. Little Women is turning into a post-apocalyptic drama. The Dark Tower film may actually happen. And a whole lot of con stuff. That with the mailbag and the front hat team challenge is Nerd and Tie.
No, keep it going. Keep it going. Keep it going.
No.
Keep it going. Real full steam.
No.
Sweet, sweet, sour. Too nice to be mean.
Oh, God.
Happy Fortnite, gentlemen.
Happy Fortnite, everybody.
All of you.
Yeah. How are we all doing?
I'm alive, mostly.
Mostly alive?
Yeah.
Oh.
Stuff.
Could be worse, right?
Right.
I've taken care of my fiance's tonsillectomy stuff, so that sucks, but other than that, it's good.
I thought you said you were taking care of her tonsils, and I'm like, oh, Nick is providing free tonsillectomies at his place.
I've played amateur surgeon and trauma center enough times that I probably could do it with a Wiimote pretty well.
What?
Why not?
Just lay back and let me get... If I glue a scalpel to the Wiimote, it'll be the same thing, really, so...
So speaking of painful stuff, I went out and saw Fantastic Four.
Oh, dear God, why?
Don't you mean Fantastic? I'm pretty sure that that's what some of the posters told me was Fan-four-stick.
Fan-four-stick. You know, it's Fantastic Four was about like five half-developed movies that someone decided to cram all into one and call the Fantastic Four.
Wonderful.
And why are they in high? Like, why is Reed Richards 17? Why is Ben Grimm 17? Why is Johnny Storm the oldest character in the Fantastic Four?
Wait, what?
I mean, I'm assuming. They never actually directly state how old Johnny Storm is in the movie, but Michael B. Jordan looks like he's a good 5-6 years older than everybody else. And two of them are in high school, and the third is... And Sue Storm's not supposed to be unreasonable for Reed Richards to be attracted to, so I'm left asking... You know, I'm just saying.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
I did not go see this movie because I actually have grown to like the Fantastic Four, and I'm kind of sad that they just can't get a good movie made.
It will make you long for the 2005 version.
Well, you know, and really the whole point of that is because Fox, they see it as a moneymaker, and that's why they're just going to keep doing it over and over again because they're like, oh, we can get money out of this. Let's keep making movies.
They're destroying the reputation of this team, which is a real shame because there was a point when the Fantastic Four were Marvel's A-list. Like, they were the top heroes in the Marvelverse.
Yeah.
God, in Avengers number one, you basically get a frame where Reed Richards is like, Loki, that's like small potatoes. Let some other guys worry about that.
Yeah, no, it's the entire movie is just bonkers bananas stupid.
I heard Duct Tape Boy's in it, though.
Yeah, no, okay. So Dr. Doom looks uncannily in this film like no brand con mascot Duct Tape Boy.
To be fair, the clip I saw, he looked like Duct Tape Boy if you covered him in Christmas lights, then wrapped him in plastic wrap. Like, to be fair. Like, but still Duct Tape Boy.
Yeah, no, it's Duct Tape. It's really, 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 really bad. Don't bother seeing Fantastic Four, folks.
Don't do it.
Don't do
it. We know the only reason they're doing it is to keep these characters out of Marvel's ownership.
Yeah, they
which
want the
also means that all the great villains the Fantastic Four have can never be in an Avengers movie. Crap.
Yeah, no, it's the Fantastic Four film is just, we're not going to bother doing any sort of special on it. That's your entire special. Don't go see it.
Yeah, don't do it.
Don't do it.
Fine by me. I wouldn't.
Don't waste your time.
And people watching the video, don't you like our new graphics?
Yeah, they look pretty good.
Well, and yeah, it's, speaking of Fox movies, and but something that's probably not going to hurt, we should probably move on to our first official topic tonight.
I yeah, agree. Let's do it.
Nick?
Which
Nick.
Relates to the graphic. Someone who we've been looking forward to seeing. Yeah. Hello?
Hi. Yes.
Keep going. We hear you.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought you guys couldn't hear me. Relates to our graphic, a certain anti-hero is finally getting a movie, and Fox is finally putting a superhero in their comic book costume. It's Deadpool.
Yeah! Ooh.
Holy crap, we got the Deadpool trailer, and as a pretty long-time Deadpool reader, all I can say is that's pretty spot on, actually.
There's nothing I don't like about the Deadpool trailer. It's so good.
This trailer for me was like the opposite of when I saw the test footage that people were freaking out about. I was kind of underwhelmed and annoyed by it. But this trailer was actually hilarious.
Even though it heavily features the live action recreation of that test footage.
Yeah. No,
maybe it's just, maybe the dialogue was, I don't know. I found the way that they had the constant stream of dialogue. Yes, I know he's the merc with a mouth, but I found the test footage really annoying, and I thought this film trailer actually looked funny and impressive. So
apparently, Ryan Reynolds kept during shooting, Ryan Reynolds kept ad-libbing Green Lantern jokes, and so according to the director, and he said most of them are not going to make it into the movie, but apparently, like, if we hear any in the movie, like 20 times more will have ended up on the like cutting room floor.
Well, the bit in the trailer where they straight up reference it with, if they give me a suit, make sure it's not green or animated about killed me.
Yeah. And this is largely the same. This is largely the same trailer we got at Comic-Con, but now you actually can see a high quality version instead of a grainy cell phone like shot
shaky
from
cam.
The back of the room, shaky cam, vertically shot shaky cam out of focus.
I'm really glad that this is getting an R rating because it's Deadpool and he just would not work without going full balls to the wall R rating.
No, and you can't have any of that with it, like you said, it wouldn't. You'd be able to get one joke about being able to drop the F-bomb, and that'd be it. Yeah. But, I mean, like what we're going to get from this movie is probably fourth-wall breaking, just amazing comedy. I mean, even the Red Band trailer that we got is, I mean, it's so vulgar and violent and perfect, and that's exactly what I want from a Deadpool movie, and that's exactly what we're going to be getting.
As a Deadpool fan, the only thing I'm really sad about is that because this is strictly with what Fox has, which is really the X-Men stuff, it means some of my favorite Deadpool supporting characters can't appear. Specifically, Bob, Agent of Hydra,
yeah.
One of my all-time favorite Deadpool side characters. But, oh well. He'll be missed. He will be missed.
But no,
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., give me Bob.
But the Deadpool trailer was good, and when is that movie coming out? We're getting it next year, right?
2016, yeah.
2016.
Yay.
Plenty to look forward
February,
to for that.
February, I believe.
Oh, also, one other note. I think it's pretty cool that Fox was willing to let Colossus be in the Deadpool movie. Even if it's not the same actor, I mean, taking a character who's from your mostly family-friendly franchise and letting him be in an R-rated movie, that's cool. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. I'm also fine with Negasonic Teenage Warhead being in it. That's the best name for a character ever. I mean, seriously. Seriously. Well, you know, okay, so we talked about how we can't see Bob, Agent of, you know, Bob, Agent of Hydra mm-hmm. in the Deadpool movie. Well, you know what we also won't have to ever see on film, though?
And what's that's that,
actually
Trey?
A good thing?
Oh, dear.
Well, what?
Is that we don't have to see Uncle Ben die again.
Yeah.
Huzzah!
Huzzah. One of our biggest concerns with the reboot of the Spider-Man franchise is that we were going to have to watch Uncle Ben die again. And frankly, some of us, being like people like me, are sick of watching Uncle Ben die over and over and over again.
It's happened a lot.
Haven't seen him die nearly as many times as the Waynes.
Right, right, right. Right.
And it's... because for those who are wondering, we're still going to see them. For those who still don't know how Batman became Batman, we still get to see it again here in Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice.
Batman v Superman will see us watch Tom and Martha Wayne get killed again. The pearls will hit the ground. I've seen it so many times. I now refer to it as the pearls hitting the ground.
Because everybody just knows what
everybody means. Just like almost everyone who's done a movie adaptation has had a pearl necklace on Martha Wayne and the pearls have hit the ground. But anyways, apparently John Goldstein said in an interview that everybody feels like, you know, he got bit by a spider and, you know, Uncle Ben died. Like they are completely skipping the origins part of the movie franchise because, well, first off, we're going to get Spider-Man already in Civil War. And so the idea is that he's already functioning as a superhero. And I don't know, maybe it's those, you know, in the last 15 years, we've had 5 Spider-Man movies. Everybody's kind of familiar with the origin by now.
Pretty you know? Much.
Everybody kind of knows.
Yeah, it's... Unfortunately, DC hasn't learned from this with Thomas and Martha Wayne, but it's the same with that. It's the same with Krypton blowing up. We know it happened. We don't...
At least you get rid of Krypton right away.
That's true.
And you don't have to violently watch it, like, happen, you know? It just goes boom.
Heck, in the last Spider-Man series we got to see it happen... Or, no, the first Spider-Man series we got with Toby, we got to see it happen about 4 or 5 times. It was great.
I don't remember.
Because we got to see it happen twice in the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
Once as it happened, second as a flashback. And then we got to see it happen another 2 or 3 times in the third movie because you find out what actually happened.
Oh, you know what? I forgot about that. I forgot and that Sandman.
Maybe we got to see it happen once in the second movie. I don't know. It was a lot. It was a lot of times watching that death happen.
I totally forgot about Sandman's plot in Spider-Man 3.
I mostly try to forget about Spider-Man.
Holy crap.
Entirely.
I forgot that Lowell from Wings totally killed Uncle Ben.
That was a plot point. That was a really
And weirdly, it wasn't like him as Salmon. It was him playing his character from Wings. No. So thankfully, though, like, I'm so happy I don't have to watch, like, because that's the whole thing is when you watch, like, a Spider-Man movie, the first one in a series, and, oh, Uncle Ben walks on screen... You know he has to die. You know, it's Peter Parker's guilt is part of the whole reason he becomes the character. And so it, like, but we all know. We all know. And, you know, it's, I'm a little tired of high school Peter Parker because that's the version of Peter Parker I don't really care about because with any of these long-running characters.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. With any of these long-running characters, there are many versions of them that are legitimate. High school-age Peter Parker is legitimate, and I totally understand why they're doing it because there are no younger characters like that in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, really. And so Spider-Man fills kind of a niche of, like, you know, the younger hero. Because you all the X-Men are over at Fox, and so you can't have any of them. You can't introduce the current Miss Marvel until long after Captain Marvel is around. And, it's... Who else are you going to have be your teenager? I mean, Peter Parker or Miles Morales are really your choices. And so even though I prefer the mid-20s Peter Parker, you know, that I was reading in the 90s, married to Mary Jane... And Aunt May should have stayed dead. But anyways.
Hey, I'm with you. I started reading Spidey comics in the 90s, kind of. I was very young.
Yeah, it's...
I prefer the universe where Doc Ock and Aunt May got married. I'm glad Aunt May found love.
Yeah, that happened.
So.
That was weird.
Oh, man. Anyways, everyone rejoice.
Uncle Ben is going to be dead, but at least we don't have to see it happen.
Yeah, exactly. We're not going to make you watch the snuff film part of Spider-Man.
Huzzah!
I don't even have really a segue for this, Trey. You wanna help me out on how I'm gonna segue into this, because I've got nothing. I've got nothing to go from now.
Are you a fan of Louisa May Alcott and post apocalyptic drama?
If you like Louisa May Alcott, let me tell you what you're in for. You are in for an adaptation of Little Women that's never been seen before. Yes, of course, everybody knows that Little Women was a novel published by Louisa May Alcott between two volumes in 1868 and 1869, which followed four sisters as they struggled to support their mother as their father went off to fight in the U.S. Civil War.
You just read that off of Wikipedia, didn't you?
No, this is my knowledge of it. Back in middle school, I did an all-male adaptation of – it was great. It was awesome. We made it work.
That's a real thing?
We adapted it ourselves. It was awesome. Anyway,
that's a real thing that happened?
Little Women, too. Not all women are Little Women. Some of them are men.
Well, the second youngest definitely wouldn't make it to the sequel. So I guess not all Little Women.
Let me go on with the weird part of this story.
Spoiler, one of the Little Women dies.
Anyways, sounds like the CW is going to be developing a series based on this novel, this classic novel.
Is it going to be a period drama like Rain?
Well, it is, Trey. It's going to be a period drama. It is going to take place in the 1860s during the time period that Little Women is set. But you know what else it's going to be happening?
No, it's not.
A dystopian take on it.
It's going to take place in a dystopian future.
Trey, let me do the story.
But you said it was taking place in the 1860s.
A period piece, but the period is dystopian Philadelphia, and the four women are wandering the streets trying to uncover a government conspiracy.
Right.
It seems logical.
It wasn't 1860.
Thank you, Trey.
Because you said it was in 1860.
Thank you, Trey.
If it was in 1860, it would make more sense.
This series, which is going to be airing on the CW when it gets put together and whatnot. If it gets picked up, which it really should. It has to. Why wouldn't it, Trey? It follows the four sisters, half sisters now, I guess, is the way they're doing this, band together in order to survive the dystopic streets of Philadelphia and unravel a conspiracy that stretches far beyond anything they have ever imagined.
It's amazing.
I don't even know how this is going to happen, but we'll do it.
You see, if the key part there is, if you would have said, like, animation studio Gonzo is working on this, then I might be a little bit more excited, because their weird steampunk adaptation of Seven Samurai was awesome, and their fantasy adaptation of Romeo and Juliet was awesome.
They did Romeo X Juliet, wasn't that them?
Also did Gunkutsuo, the version of Count of Monte Cristo that makes you feel like you did a whole lot of drugs. But it was still really good. So, yeah.
But
it is not them.
It is not them. It is from CBS Studios. In association with Solar Drive Productions, are going to be putting this together. It has yet to get picked up. It has yet to be. I'm sure there's a script, but
I want to read it.
This is going to be amazing, and I can only hope there's a lot of really cool, like, slow motion fight scenes with zombie killing, and
one of them will die in the season finale.
But they weren't little girls anymore. They were little rebels.
In a world overrun by conspiracy.
In a world where you must rely on your wits to survive, these four little women are going to undo a conspiracy.
Well, now, you know,
rises further and further to the top of Neo-Philadelphia.
I really like that we only have this basic information so that we can wildly speculate about what the show can be. I expect at least two robot fighting scenes in this show. I want one of them to climb.
They're not like going
to
have robot. The budget for robot fights.
Have a robot fight, but it would have to be one of those, you know, robots that look like humans. So there's not really a whole lot of point in them being robots, but they're robots now.
We might get a T-1000 kind of thing here. You never know.
Yeah.
Dream big, Trey. Dream big.
I dream medium size.
That or like Amy could roll out of like a dust pile and be like, wow, can you believe that giant battle that we just got into with all those giant robots? That was something. Anyways, expect Little Women in dystopic Philadelphia fighting government conspiracies, hopefully in the very near future.
Oh, God. Jeepers. So, you know, the Little Women dystopian future is something I never thought I would ever see come to, like, television screens anywheres. You know what else I never thought would come to screens anywheres?
Look, another segue.
But this one works a lot better than what we went into before, so we'll take that, right?
The Dark Tower is finally, it looks like it might, 80% sure that it's going to actually get a movie adaptation. I didn't have you on camera, so you just spit all over yourself for nothing.
Oh, well, either way, there was a great spit take that just happened, folks, and you missed it. Thanks, Trey.
Nobody saw it because I had the camera on me because I was introducing a story.
I don't know anything about The Dark Tower other than Stephen King's
involvement. So The Dark Tower is a fantasy series by Stephen King. I think there are like 7 or 8 books. I've never read it, but I'm familiar with it vaguely. It starts with the gunslinger. I know how it ends, so that's why I haven't read it. but it's a very complicated, weird series of books, but it has a huge following. And, you know, the people I know who like it seem really obsessed with it, so it must be good enough to make a movie out of. They made Fantastic Four. But anyways, people have been trying to turn this into a movie since, like, the old Fantastic Four movies with, like, Rise of the Silver Surfer. Because let me tell you how long this journey has been to get The Dark Tower onto movie screens. The project originally was at Universal, where J.J. Abrams was going to make a film. And it's like 2007. J.J. Abrams was attached at Universal to make a movie out of it, but he removed himself from the project. And then in 2010, Ron Howard wanted to do this crazy thing where they would do a movie and then they do like interspersed with like seasons of a television show that would run simultaneously with the movie series. But the difference is that they wanted to start production on a television series though, but then before the first movie came out. Like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. happened after they had done an entirely financially successful Phase 1 of movies. You know what I mean?
That's true.
It took Marvel waited to do that for a while till they knew things would work. And originally the first movie would have actually come out in 2013. But then in 2011, Universal pulled its support from the production. Ron Howard tried to shop stuff to HBO. And then it's been there's lots of stuff. Like Russell Crowe was attached to the project for a while. Then they tried to shop it to Warner and they passed. But in 2015, Sony apparently greenlit the movie, and I read this back in April, and I didn't believe it because I'd been reading so many stories about the Dark Tower happening, and you know, for years. But apparently, and Sony few days ago, came out and said that the Dark Tower, the first film in the the series, which I guess they're calling The Dark Tower, which I don't know why they're not calling it The Gunslinger, but I guess because they don't want people to think it's a Western, even though it is kind of a Western. It's just also a fantasy story. The Dark Tower is weird. There's a bear with a satellite dish on its head. Lobstrosities. It's Sony announced that the movie is going to come out January 13th, 2017, which is like, yes, you know, that's only a year and a half away, which means that considering this is a massive fantasy production and pretty expensive to do, means they're going to have to start making it really soon.
Right now.
Yeah.
At this minute. They're doing it right now. Chris Pratt's already been cast. I mean, they got him in it. It was amazing.
They just filmed like the first like half hour of it while we were talking. Like just this segment. They already got the first half hour done. I don't know how they're doing this.
It's impressive. It's amazing what you can do with Stephen King money. So, well, it is actually happening though.
Yeah, at least now. The Dark Tower looks like it'll actually make it to screens, which is great because people are going to get all this build up then, because I know how it ends. I know how it ends. And they're going to be super fucking disappointed with the ending.
Well, you know,
it is like last episode of Lost, like level of you thought we were doing thing A, but we're really doing things B, C, and D. And only like a quarter of our audience is actually going to enjoy it. The internet is going to erupt in such anger from the people who have never read the books.
Well, I just want to let all of our listeners know to tune in next week when we bring you the inevitable news that the list's latest Dark Tower project is canceled.
Oh,
realistic.
What if it happens?
No. That'll be 6 months from now.
6 months from now. It'll be in the can. The posters will be out. And then all of a sudden they're like, we changed our mind.
Stephen King said this was terrible.
Well, if Stephen King said so.
I keep kissing fur on the nose.
I know. I like this new view that we've got. It makes me feel really close to you, Trey.
I know. It's like our shoulders are connected. Like we're the weirdest Siamese twins ever.
What? We're going to... Hey, you know, once Nick actually gets a video, we'll be able to do like some three-headed Broadway star kind of stuff going on here. It'll be awesome.
Meanwhile, Nick looks like he's sitting behind us kind of leering.
Enjoying it.
Yeah.
Let's move on. This is getting weird.
Audio listeners, of course, don't know that we've replaced all of our on-screen graphics, and they just think we're being really strange right now.
Yes.
Okey-dokey.
That's only because we are.
Moving on.
Moving on to convention stuff, Nick.
Yeah.
Well, our first bit of convention stuff is some weirdness from Galacticon. Galacticon 4 is a con dedicated to Battlestar Galactica. Just Battlestar Galactica.
Only
that should make Random Ramblings Man happy.
He's going to go there, actually. He's on his way. He's already packing his stuff.
It already took place for...
He's going back. He's jumping into the DeLorean and going back in time.
Well, that might not be worth doing because you see... Just before Galacticon, they canceled 11 of their guests. And immediately afterward, the con chair resigned.
This is one of those amazing things. Like, well, first off, when we say 11 guests, we should point out that was only a third of their guests. They had over 30 guests, but...
Do they have the entire cast of Battlestar Galactica at their convention? My God.
Most of them. They also had other science fiction guests, like from other shows, too.
Wait, I thought they were an only Battlestar Galactica convention. What are they doing inviting the cast of Sliders?
They are a primarily Battlestar Galactica convention.
That's a plot hole you've opened in this episode, Trey, and now we've got to close it.
No, we don't.
Hey, if they didn't have to close plot holes in season 4 of the reboot, then we don't have to close this one.
Let's keep going.
Oh, yeah, no, so the amazing thing is that this guy, like, you have to understand, like, all this stuff happened, like, the cancellation of the guests, and then the following day, the quitting of the con chair happened, like, this is, like, the week of the con, and this is, like, Monday, Tuesday, and the con starts Friday. Like, that is how amazing this whole thing was. He did hand it to people. Like, it wasn't just like he just walked away. He handed it to a specific, the official fan club and a local fan group. He handed control of the convention to, and they actually did try to reinvite. I had it right the first time. What is wrong
with me? Reinvite.
I said reinvite and then corrected myself. Reinvite some of the guests. And some of them came, some didn't back. But, yeah, like, they totally, like, so this is what I don't get. They canceled the guests because they were low on money and needed to pay bills. Why not just invite 20 guests instead of 33? Once you hit a certain threshold, even the people who come to cons just for guests stop caring.
Plus, you don't have time the whole weekend. To go and meet every single one. Like, that's just,
Yeah, no, so it's...
Yeah, it's a really weird... It's weird that they had that many guests to begin with. Good golly.
Yeah, no, it's, Well, you know, it's the big official Battlestar... I don't know if it's official or not, but it's the big Battlestar Galactica con on the West Coast, so it's... But I don't know. The entire situation is just remarkable. It is a just kind of an ode to poor financial planning. It is like poor financial planning, bad PR instincts, and just all around dumbness. Which the guy at least then like resigned immediately afterwards.
Well, that's good. At least, you know.
Yeah, it could be worse. He could have started blaming congoers and
And the entire local con scene.
Fantastic. And Milwaukee. Fantastic on Milwaukee. We're talking about, let's be clear, which has no legal connection or official connection or unofficial connection to the Fantastic on set of touring shows. It is Fantasticon Milwaukee was not related to any other Fantasticon. Although it called itself just Fantasticon, we add Milwaukee to the end to be clear that we are talking about Fantasticon Milwaukee, which we're not talking about. I'm just coughing a lot right now, and you think you're of hearing course. Words.
You really gotta let that get that cough looked at, Trey. That's a bit rough, bud.
Yeah, well, get some cough syrup or something.
Some lozenges would be a good idea. You know, they could have also taken – Galacticon could have even taken a worse option out to cover themselves. They could just have randomly started harassing people.
Speaking of harassing people. So there's this so a really interesting post went up on Facebook a few days ago from one of the co-founders of Summoner's Cafe. Which is a maid cafe that operates out in they operate a maid cafe at conventions, out in California, and their first show they ever worked for was Anime California. Anime California is
run by our favorite person.
Well, okay, so Anime California at the time was the president was Jeffrey Sudarth. He has stepped down as president, although he's still the legal. He's the legal person in charge of Anime California Incorporated right now still. So they say he's resigned, but he's still the only official person for the corporation listed with the state of California. But anyways, the Chuwei cosplay is what the young woman goes by. Chuwei, she posted a detailed review about how Ryan Koff owns, at least partially owns, Anime California. We don't know how much. We do know that he operates their website, owns their domain name, and from people we've talked to who have worked with the staff of Anime California, we know he's been mentioned and has been brought up repeatedly as the person in charge. So we don't know the degree to which he operates and owns it, but we know he's a heavy figure involved. Anyways, they initially contacted Chuwei and a friend of hers who Chuwei has asked not to have name. I know the person's name. I've looked it up, but I'm not going to bother mentioning it in this conversation. They were approached about starting to create a maid cafe for the con. Now, the group operating the maid cafe that would become Summoner's Cafe operated independently and operated as an individual organization with no connection to Anime California. Now, and absolutely no contracts were signed. Absolutely nothing was ever written down. After Anime California last year, 2014, following the convention, Jeffrey Sudarth, then president of Anime California Incorporated, sent contracts to the owners of Summoner's Cafe, to the operators of it, demanding they sign over ownership of the cafe to Anime California.
Because that's not creepy.
Right. That's not, and not now, sketches all get out.
Now, Summoner's Cafe people were pretty much said no. And you can read the full account on Chue's Cosplay's page. I'll link it in the show notes. But effectively, there was some back and forth. They tried to negotiate like that they would be the exclusive licensor, but because all of the stuff they created for the cafe was theirs, it all goes back and forth to the point where they just could not reach a resolution. And what happened was is that the Summoner's Cafe people decided to just part ways quietly with Anime California. But and then as they tried to start working with other groups and other conventions, the Jeffrey Sudar started harassing with cease and desist notices all of the sponsors and other conventions that Summoner's Cafe wanted to work with. Now, Anime California is claiming that the everything created for the Summoner's Cafe was done as work for hire, that it's which is normally, you know, when you work for a convention, you produce things for a convention, the convention owns it. Now, this is a gray area because according to Anime California, that was always what was supposed to happen here, that they were always supposed to own everything for Summoner's Cafe. Summoner's Cafe says, no, we were an independent group operating. We just happened to be doing this for Anime California our first time out. Without any contracts, it is one person's word against the other. That said, Anime California has to be operating under the impression that Summoner's Cafe was an independent organization, or else they wouldn't have bothered sending over paperwork saying that the Summoner's Cafe people had to sign over ownership, right? Mm. Because if they were in good faith, if Anime California in good faith believed that they owned the rights to the material, if they believed that they owned the rights to the material, would have never needed to send that paperwork to the Summoner's Cafe people, right?
Presumably.
I'm not a lawyer. I'm related to several, but I'm not one myself.
Just play one on TV.
But I just spend a week in a cabin with two of them, but not a lawyer myself. So I don't know. I do know as a person who has worked as work for hire that is normally the case, but I had contracts in all of those cases. So, you know, and so what happened though, is that regardless of whether or not like it's just a disagreement or a mistake, the fact is that Jeffrey Sudarth, who working for Ryan Kopf, sent out repeated cease and desist letters in a harassing fashion, which is kind of their signature thing, way to harass. And apparently, even though after Jeffrey Sudarth has supposedly stepped down, again, he's still listed as the legal contact for Anime California Incorporated as of at least when I'm saying this right now. He's been directly going around bad-mouthing the Summoner's Cafe people at other conventions and to other groups. It's ridiculous. It's insane. And yet kind of more evidence of the poison that Ryan Kopf and Chrono LC are bleeding into our convention community.
Don't support his stuff.
Yeah.
Please don't.
Whatever you do. Do not support.
And for those who don't know, AnimeCon.org is the operating name of Chrono LC. So AnimeCon.org cons are just, they're bad people. You know, usually I used to skirt around saying that. And I'm very careful in my articles to never say anything I can't legally prove. But I think I'm well founded at this point saying that Ryan Kopf's organization and mostly him are bad for this community.
And really bad for anybody in general. Bad for people that don't like scumbags.
There are plenty of good conventions out there in every city, in almost every city he operates. And so you should go to one of the good conventions instead.
And if you ever want to sit down and say what is the problem that you have with this gentleman, and I use that term very lightly when I'm discussing anything involving Ryan Kopp, we'll be glad to oblige.
The rule of thumb is I just tell people Google Ryan Kopp. R-Y-A-N space K-O-P-F. Google Ryan Kopp, and you will know.
Everything you need to know, really.
You will know exactly why.
Yeah. Ugh. Support good conventions. Support good people that run good conventions. And don't support garbage.
Agreed. Totally agreed.
For instance, in 2 weeks, could go to a really good convention run by good people.
Wonderful segue,
Fur. A good convention by good people.
A good convention run by good people, where there are going to be a lot of good people in attendance, and we're all really excited about it because we're going to be there. GeekCon is happening in Madison, Wisconsin from the 21st to the 23rd of August. That is in in a little bit less than 2 weeks, and we're all going to be there. Hold yes, GeekCon is ramping up for its, I believe, eighth year, right?
Something like that.
Something like that. They are ramping up for another great year. Every year they put on a phenomenal show. It's they've got a lot of good people, good guests that are going to be there.
2007 was their first year.
Yeah, so this would be year number eight.
Yeah, it was 2007. You're correct.
So they're going to be celebrating their eighth year, and we're going to be there to celebrate it with them. Why don't we talk about all the kind of really cool stuff we're going to be doing? Of course, we, Nerd and Ty, are going to be doing a live episode there on Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
So be there for that. It's going to be good. We're going to talk about a lot of really cool things that are coming up. I think we can probably officially start teasing an announcement that we're going to be making at GeekCon. You don't have to wait till Sunday to hear what it is going to be. You're literally going to find out about it the minute you step foot inside the convention space.
You'll see it on the walls.
It's going to be everywhere, but get excited.
The writing will be on the walls, so to speak.
Literally.
But
not even so to speak.
You're going to be seeing a lot of posters talking about this announcement, and on Sunday morning at 9:30, we're going to talk about what it is that is going to be announced on the posters. So be there for that event if you can be. Otherwise, the show is going to go up mere hours after we record it, like Trey usually does.
Well, okay, so yeah, the show's going to go up mere hours after we record it, and also we'll also post something to nerdandtie.com about the announcement on Sunday morning.
Yep, it's going to be a good announcement. A lot of good things are going to happen in 2016, and you're not going to want to miss them.
We can't tell you what Project 2016 is, but it's amazing.
Just know that it's going to be good. But not only are we going to be doing the live show on Sunday morning, but we're all going to be doing a lot of phenomenal different things at GeekCon. Trey, what do you have in store for the weekend?
Well, the one thing I have in store, and I don't remember the time slot off the top of my head, but the one other thing that I'm doing, besides spending a bunch of time in the Artist Alley, is that I'm participating in the Roast of Adam Pulver.
Yes. No, Adam Pulver, of course, the president of the con chair, I guess, president con chair. I'm not sure how geeky
they use con chair. They use con chair.
Con chair. We've decided to sit him down and roast him alive with some phenomenally funny comedians and not very
and
attractive
me,
human beings. And Trey. But that's going to be happening at 10 o'clock on Friday night. It's going to be a very 18-plus event. It's going to be a check IDs at the door. Bring some popcorn. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to absolutely trash each other. It's going to be amazing. But we're going to do it out of love. We do it because we love each other.
Looking forward to that.
It's going to be.
You going to attend that, Nick?
I'll try to.
You should. Because some of the jokes are funnier if you're there.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
I really should attend.
It's going to be so good. But Trey, you're going to be at your GeekCon table.
Yes, yes.
Selling your art.
Yep, I will be selling copies of print copies of Unconventional and the Chronicles of Crossarth in the Artist Alley. I'm sharing a table with Gen Proc. And also, if you want to know about the announcement before we make it Sunday morning and you want to know more information than what's posted on walls everywhere, you can go talk to me there. because I'll be stationary and have nothing else to do.
Indeed.
Indeed, indeed. And so while Trey is doing that, Nick, what are you going to be doing at GeekCon in 2 weeks?
A lot. I'm also going to be in the Artist Alley helping at the Ineffective Carnivore booth, where Raina will be selling her stuff. You can look for, like I said, we'll be at the Ineffective Carnivore booth. Don't know what day yet, but you'll definitely see both Raina and me as Chitoge and Raku from Nisei Koi. So that will be lots of fun. In addition to all the great stuff that Otaku Tonight is doing, which I know you're going to be going over for.
I will indeed, Nick.
But in addition to all the great stuff Otaku Tonight is doing, which I'm, as always, being your improv guy, co-hosting the show, and, of course, doing a little bit of stand-up on my own, I'm going to be hosting a very strange panel called The Rise and Fall of the Zeon Reich. It is an alternate universe history class from the perspective of, well, for you, the attendee, you will be a student in my history class where I will be a professor teaching you about the Zeon movement in the Gundam universe and why they're a bunch of space Nazis.
Which are just Nazis, but in space.
Well, yeah, but it's going to be lots of fun. I'm going to be passing out a syllabus. It'll be some good alternate reality fun times about a really depressing period of history that didn't really happen.
So that'll be fun. And of course, official times have yet to really be announced on all the panels, but we'll get those to you.
I believe it's at 2 o'clock that panel on Saturday.
Yeah, the day is important.
Yeah, 2 o'clock Saturday. Swing by the Rise and Fall of the Zeon Reich. You learn about the history of Zeon. Get your syllabus. Do the required reading, or you're going to fail.
And you don't want to fail, Nick. That'd be very bad. No. So, as far as what I'll be doing that weekend, of course, I'm going to be doing a lot of stuff. Most of everything I'm going to be doing is with the Otaku Tonight Productions team. Our Friday is very, very full of stuff that's going to be going on. Friday night.
How full is it?
Well, Friday night, the first thing we're doing is going to be doing another game of another show of Whose Line Is It Anime. Of course, the incredibly fun improv panel that we all put on.
I'm usually in that.
Yeah, Nick, you're part of that. Of course, Sydney Velociraptor Staffel is also part of that. Raina Innocenti is going to be joining us on that. And actually, Gen Proc is going to be hosting this time. I'm kind of excited to hear that. She's hosting for the first time because, unfortunately, one of our mainstays is not going to be attending the weekend. Also that night, we are doing Fandom Feud, which is our version of Family Feud. We just put out a survey that you can go and answer to help us out.
I'll link that in the show notes.
On the Otaku Tonight Productions page. If you get chosen as part of your fandom to represent, you can win $5. I mean, that's pretty good. That's part of something in the vendor room. Also on Friday night, we're doing our popular stand-up panel, One Night Stand-Up, which is going to be featuring a new comedian, Miles Reed Lobato, is going to be opening that event for us, and I'm pretty excited for him to be there. Then on Saturday or Friday night, mentioned earlier, the Roast of Adam Pulver is going to be happening. Not an official Otaku Tonight event, but still going to be incredibly fun and enjoyable.
Is that an official anything event?
It's an official somebody pitched the idea to me, and I said, yeah, I'll host that. That sounds good.
Sounds like a great Nerd and Tie event then.
I don't know that I want us to put any of our
Nerd and Tie presents the Roast of Adam Pulver.
With some of the stuff that's going to be said, I don't think we want to know. Finally on Saturday night, the main event is going to be happening, Otaku Tonight with Professor Fur. We're going to be kind of doing a bit of a variation on the show this time, but it's going to be amazing. And again, official times will be announced very, very soon once GeekCon puts up their schedule. So be there.
Wait, you guys find out what a great writer I am again.
It's going to be good. We always have a lot of fun at GeekCon. If you see us, say hi to us, talk to us, look for
my
us.
My facial hair will be evolving throughout the weekend, so
it's going to be amazing.
Don't assume that the beard will be there.
feel free to maybe follow us around all weekend and potentially show up on the secret podcast that will eventually get recorded.
It will happen.
It's going to happen. I will probably continue the tradition of being way too drunk to be on a podcast.
As long as you're sober for the Sunday morning one. Not because I really care that you're sober for the podcast, but because I'm really worried about you if you're still drunk Sunday morning.
He's you know, drunk, but he has a point.
I'm probably going to be hitting the hay early Saturday night, not going to lie, because I'm auditioning for a show on Sunday night, so I can't be too turnt on Sunday morning, as the cool kids say. So, yeah.
That's a thing?
It's a thing. So go to GeekCon in a fortnight. See us there.
Yeah, it's in Madison, Wisconsin, if we haven't mentioned it.
Madison, Wisconsin at the Crown Plaza.
The Madison Marriott West.
Madison Marriott West. It's technically in Middleton.
It's literally the great thing about the Madison Marriott West is that it literally the edge of the property is the city line limit to Madison. So it's in Middleton, like literally like you exit the hotel property and you're in Madison, but you're not.
You're at the Courtyard Marriott.
What?
So,
it's not at the Courtyard Marriott. That's a different place. That's a different hotel. There is one in that area. You can't tell them these things.
Go there.
It is look the Madison Marriott look, West.
Look for the destroyed remains of a once great empire that is the Denny's that is no longer there.
It's a Starbucks now, I think.
Is it?
Yeah.
Gross.
Oh, God. It hurts.
Do you want to go to Starbucks?
Starbucks. Nick, I'm hungry.
Oh, God, no. I think I've seen a parody that already did that.
Yeah, let's not. I don't want to get eaten or sued or whatever. Hey, also, if I can do one other little now I can't think of plug.
Go for it.
Before we move on. If any of you are in the Michigan area and you're just dying to see what I do in person, this next weekend from August 15th on August 15th and 16th.
So the weekend before.
The weekend before GeekCon. I'm going to be selling things for Angry Fox LLC at SS Kaizoku Con, which is held at the Fraunthal Center for the Performing Arts in the Hilt Building. So I'm going to be there, stuck behind a table, selling toys.
What city is that in?
Muskegon, Michigan.
Okay.
Muskegon. We'll put that in the show notes. Muskegon. Lovely place. Lovely.
Somebody shoot me that in the in the planning chat.
I love
because I
you know
I
hear it's lovely this time of year.
Send Muskegon. Me that into the Facebook chat then, Nick, so I can put that in the show notes.
Yeah, it's so I don't know too much about it. I've never been there before, but I'll be selling action figures for a friend. So, you know, feel free to come by and please buy things.
Yeah.
All right, so we should probably hit the mailbag.
We should hit the mailbag. A little bit short, but that's okay. Sometimes shorter episodes work. But let's go to mailbag and see what's in there.
Let's go to the mailbag.
Why are we doing? What are we doing right now? What's happening?
Mailbag.
Anyway, mailbag. All right. This letter comes from Humongous Calves.
It's Human Gas Calves. It's Calvesy.
Human Gas Calves. Then maybe he should separate it out differently. Anyways, hello. Statement. The subject is Radio KOL. Hello. Statement. I am a DJ for Kingdom of Loathing's Radio. I have a long Tuesday morning set and have taken to playing your podcast. If this is unacceptable, please let me know. I only assume you're sharing all of your sweet, sweet internet radio money with us then.
You mean the volunteer-run KOL radio that no one gets paid for? Oh,
yes.
Shoot. We lost our connection to Ustream.
Yes. Correct. We did.
You also lost your connection for a little bit. I'm back.
All right.
Anyways.
Give me a second.
Okay.
I just want to stream the rest of the episode for the people at home. All right, continue.
As I was saying, as long as you're sharing that sweet, sweet internet radio money with us, we'll be fine.
Yeah, video viewers may have noticed a little glitch there, and we're sorry, and hopefully we cleaned it up.
And question. Man from Uncle versus Spectre. Cool. Man from Uncle.
Man from Uncle.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited for Man from Uncle. I'm not going to lie.
You know, I will say, though, this is like the second project that Armie Hammer's been attached to in the last 3 years that involves a reboot of an old thing that nobody's really thought about for a while. So let's hope it goes better than his first time.
The difference is with this one is that it actually looks like something that, like, a decent film. Because everybody loves spy films. Nobody watches Westerns.
That's true.
So
also, I might get to see Henry Cavill in something that doesn't suck, which would be awesome.
Yeah, let's find out if he can actually act.
Oh, I think he can act. I just think he's been in terrible movies up until now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's it for Mailbag. We all agree on it. Yeah, that's it.
And we are perfectly happy with Cavsy rebroadcasting our episodes because...
the more the merrier.
Yeah. If you start making money on it, though, you have to start paying us. Until then, though, Cavsy. And this permission only extends to Cavsy because we know Cavsy.
Yeah.
Other people need to ask us, but Cavsy can use it.
Yeah.
So let's move on to the last part of our show.
Yes.
The greatest part of our show.
The Vomit Hat Steve Challenge. I've put a tie on my head. The Vomit Hat Steve Challenge is a simple thing. I read a section of a book every episode. If you know what the book is, you write into us and tell us. If you guess right, you get included in the Hall of Awesome. The benefits of being in the Hall of Awesome are as follows. 1, you get your name listed in the Hall of Awesome page on our website. 2, I read your name at this point in the episode every regular non-special episode. 3, there is no 3. That should be enough for you people. That's all we got. Okay? I'm a podcast with the man with the necktie tied around my head right now. Don't ask too many questions.
Don't push him.
The current members of the Hall of Awesome are as follows. Arkham iZero, Rena Innocenti, Cheesy McDamu, Krista, Slitheredy, Shameless Otaku, The Random Ramblings Man, Corfan, Capito, Chris Graham, Lily Soros, Paper Godzilla, and starting this episode, Cavsy!
Yeah, Cavsy!
Cavsy guessed the book right, and it was Invasive Procedures by Orson Scott Card and Aaron Johnston, which those of you who are loyal listeners might have noticed that we've actually used that book before. And I just did it again because I felt like it. But so that means we're going to start a new book this episode, which I have down here out of camera.
You so-and-so.
Who do you think you are?
Don't you know that you are a shooting star? All right. So this is the sentence from the book that you are to guess. Long before the 17th century, references to characteristics of handwriting appeared in early literature. If you know what book that's from, go to nerdandtie.com, click on the contact form, and write to us, and tell us what it is. Or go to that form and tell us about anything else that pops into your head. We want to hear it. We want to know. We want to know what goes inside your mind, out your ears, in your nose, whatever, as long as you can type it. Typed mailbag is best mailbag. And remember, if you write in now, we'll read your letter live at GeekCon.
Yeah.
In front of a room full of people who aren't streaming this on the internet. So a different room full of people.
Something like that.
Oh, my God.
In the real world.
So we should probably...
Bring it home.
Bring it home.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad that all of you tuned in for another Fortnite's adventure here on Nerd and Tie. I am Nick Izumi.
I'm Firsters.
And I'm Trey Dorn.
Thanks for listening.
And remember to subscribe to us on...
To us this week?
Remember to subscribe to us through iTunes or through Stitcher. Remember to rate and review us on those stores, too, so other people will know how awesome you think we are. And remember to be awesome to each other, to yourselves, to your mother, to your brother, to your sister, to everybody named Steve, but especially not the ones named Martin. Don't trust the Martins.
We'll see y'all at GeekCon.
Darn right. And remember to keep on Spockin' in the free world.
Let's see if I can edit this episode together now.
Oh, yeah.